This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on Wednesday. And we want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God tonight at 7 p.m. It's our family night service. We have kids class, we got adults class, and we've got a young adults class that meets. And all of them meet at 7. The kids are in the same room or the same building with the adults, different room. And they go through the Bible, learn the Bible. They play some games. They have a great time. And my wife heads up that class. And by the way, she is a phenomenal, phenomenal woman of God, a blessing to me, a blessing to our church, a blessing to her workplace. And she's a blessing to these young children that she ministers to on a weekly basis. And so I know we just came through Mother's Day, and we want to honor them. Another person I would like to honor is my office manager. And this coming Sunday, we are going to be having, after our church service, a potluck to honor her for her 24 years, almost 24 years of faithful and competent and excellent ministry at Merritt Assembly of God. And we've had a great time working together. We tease each other a lot. She is excellent at what she does. She has been a driven employee, knows what needs to be done. A lot of times, I've called her Radar O'Reilly through the years, because a lot of times I will come up with something just out of the blue and would say, hey, I need you to do this. And she's like, I just did it. And, you know, she... very much like Radar O'Reilly in MASH, where she knew what needed to be done without me having to micromanage or anything like that. In 24 years, there's not one day that I've ever had to worry about whether, you know, she was going to get the job done. She has served with passion, still going to be a part of Merritt Assembly of God, still volunteering and things like that. But she is retiring from steady employment there, and so we are honoring her for her years of service. So looking forward to doing that this coming Sunday after service. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 1 once again. We are talking about ways that we can pray for one another, and so we have talked about praying for new believers, praying that we would have a testimony of faith and a testimony of love, that when we pray, we give thanks for one another, that we pray specifically for one another by name, that we pray that believers will understand the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that we would pray for divine provision, that and that we are very, very thankful for those. Today we're going to return to Ephesians chapter 1, and I know with Mother's Day just having happened that the next, you know, major event for us to honor is Memorial Day, but right after that is Father's Day. So I want to share with you today that we should pray for each other, that we understand our Heavenly Father. So let me read Ephesians 1:15-18. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, today I want to encourage you that the Heavenly Father does not suffer from the imperfections of human fathers, the inadequacies of human fathers, is not prone to the limitations that fathers here on earth do. And in fact, here Paul writes to the Ephesians and he describes that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, our Heavenly Father is glorious. He's all-knowing. There are some omni words that we use in English. He is omnipotent. It means he's all-powerful. I would also say this, he's good. And by that I mean there's none good but God. God the Father is the definition of goodness. And so, you know, there are atheists that want to say, well, since there's evil in the world, then he is either not all powerful or he is not all good. And I would say to you and anyone else who says that, that argument has been tried over and over and over again, and it comes up lacking every time. And so when I was in retail management, I would give my staff, when I was leaving, I'd say, okay, this is what I need you to do tonight. Well, if they were super busy and they didn't get that done, I was perfectly fine with that. But, you know, I could see the sales numbers when I came in. I knew what they were when I left. I knew what they were when I came in the next day. And there were a lot of times where delegated responsibility wasn't fulfilled, and it wasn't because of my incompetence in delegating, but it was in the choice that the people made of whether or not they were going to do what they were supposed to do. And God, in his wisdom, not looking for mindless obedience, but looking for willful and intentional obedience, from people who were created in the image of God. Now, you've got to understand that sin distorted that image. Jesus came and restores us to the image that we were created. We are created body, soul, and spirit. There are a number of trilogies in the Word of God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so God created us, and we missed it. And I say we. It wasn't just Adam and Eve. I've blown it enough on my own without their help. And, you know, a lot of times we are looking for ways of shirking our responsibility instead of embracing, hey, this wasn't God's fault. God prepared Jesus as the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever formed. So God's provision is there. God's answers to prayer are there. You know, so 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about if my people, which are called by my name. And so there's a responsibility. There's a provision that is made with the condition that is necessary that we will do what we're supposed to do. We will see what God wants to do on our behalf. So there are people who want to reject the existence of God and resist the lifestyle of God, while at the same time saying, wait a minute, if there's consequences for people not doing what God told us to do, then it must be a fault with God. And in reality, it's not God. It's us. It's the fact we live in a fallen world. And so it really does make a huge difference for us if we understand the importance of knowing the Father. And so here in this passage, we understand that he's the Father of glory. Glory emerges from him. He is the source of glory. So he is deserving of glory. All glory and honor and power and blessing and praise belong to him. So it belongs to him, but it also launches from him. It emerges from him. And so any glory that we might have comes from the Father. So I would say that he's not only glorious, but we need to also understand that the Father is a Father of compassion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so there are people that look at that and they, you know, don't understand what a great price the Father paid and Jesus paid, but he did so because he's a Father of compassion. He's an accessible Father. So Jesus would say, don't just pray to my Father. He's your Father as well. And so he's accessible. We come to the Father in Jesus' name, through Jesus' name. It is a place where we can find help, but it is, you know, not just a place where we come to with our wish list, our need list, but we come to have relationship with the Father. There are, after decades of living, you know, with myself, there are things that I have come to realize, and some of these are not new. There are certain personality types that I struggle with. One of those is that I struggle with relationships that are one-way streets, where I put in all of the effort, I initiate all of the conversation, I do all the work, and after a while, when I realize that a relationship is not as valuable to that person as is it as to me, then I realize, you know what? Maybe I need to just understand that the way that they have defined the relationship of just seeing each other once a year and waving at one another as they're, you know, as we see each other across the store or whatever, maybe we stop and chit chat for a moment or two, but really that's as far as that relationship is going to go. And a lot of people want to come to God with the understanding that the relationship is, look, I have a need, you have an answer, I'm going to come to you, and all I want out of this relationship is the answer to my need. Well, the access is so that the relationship becomes everything it's supposed to be, not just that we get what we think we need. Whenever we reduce the relationship to, you know, this is what I need, this is what you're going to supply, then we find out that the relationship is probably going to suffer some challenges because that's not all that God wants the relationship to be. He wants it to be a covenant relationship where we value one another. See, Jesus went to the cross because of the joy of being reconciled to lost humanity that was on the other side of the cross. It was the joy of the relationship. And he said, it is worth the pain and the suffering of the cross to get the sins of humanity paid for so that grace could abound, so that the relationship with the Father could be reconciled. So understand that the relationship is meant to be a thriving, healthy relationship where both parties are speaking and listening and acting in one another's best interest. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 has three parables in it. It talks about the lost sheep. It talks about the lost coin. And then there's a third story. It doesn't say that this one is a parable, but instead he says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants, father's hired servants, have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son, pages sticking together just a second, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The reason I read that entire passage for you is because all of the key players in this story about a certain man and his two sons, whenever I see that it's not labeled specifically a parable, I look at it and say, this really happened. That's just me. I could be wrong. But I'm sure that this has happened. It breaks my heart whenever I read about parents and children, and many times they can be adult children, and I hear about severed relationships. That grieves me. It really does. And I'm not saying I'm the perfect father. You ask my kids, they will tell you that I wasn't. I'll tell you I wasn't. I will also tell you they weren't perfect kids and aren't perfect adults, but I pray that they're better at it than what I've been. But the Heavenly Father is perfect. And in this story, every key relationship is identified back to the Father. So he's not, the name is not given. He's just identified as the Father. And you get the sense from this story that there is some financial substance, material substance that belongs to the Father. There's land. There's an inheritance. There's robes and rings and shoes. There are servants that are identified as his servants. The problem in Luke chapter 15 is that neither one of his two sons had a healthy relationship with the Father. The younger son was the one who looked at the Father's stuff and said, I would rather have the stuff than I would the relationship with the Father. And so he takes his wealth and he goes off and he blows it, and he thinks that friends are more valuable than the Father, that the partying is more important than the continued sustained relationship with the Father and the responsibilities or the work that comes along with that. And so because he does not have a healthy understanding of his Father, he doesn't value that relationship. He ends up making bad decisions, not realizing that there were difficult days that were on the horizon. And so he finds himself no longer having the financial means, no longer having the friends, and still needing the day-to-day existence. And so he finds himself living in a worse condition as a hired servant than he had as a valued son. And he said, I sinned. So it says that he came to himself. That's in verse number 17. And he said, my father, he remembers the relationship. And he realizes, he says, my father treats his hired servants better than this guy is treating his hired servants. And so the rebel, the one who valued stuff over relationships, comes to the place, he says, I've damaged my relationship with the Father. Maybe if I go back and repent, he will hire me as a servant. And the Father never one time calls him a servant. He calls him his son. Now, you flip that to the older son, and you'll see that he also does not have a healthy relationship with the Father because he refuses to join the celebration. He does not agree that the father should be celebrating this younger son's return. He said he squandered you know, he's been, let's see, where is that at here? He said, as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said, all these years I have served you, and I never transgressed your commandments, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. And so this son was about the service and stayed submitted, but he didn't understand that the father had a heart to set the son up to enjoy life, not just serve through life. And so he was serving, but he was serving without the father's provision. And so both of the sons have a conversation with the father, and the father said, look, that guy that's in there that we're celebrating, that's your brother. The brother relationship came about because of the relationship. They had the same father. I want to throw one. So let me throw this out there first. Have you ever asked yourself which one of these sons you identify with the most closely? For me, it's not the younger son. For me, it's the older son. And I mean, it is my privilege and my honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But never forget as a believer that it is also the privilege of believers as part of the kingdom of heaven to celebrate, to rejoice over forgiveness, to rejoice in the goodness of God, to rejoice that, you know, there was a television series, I believe it was in the 40s or the 50s, Father Knows Best, is probably the 50s. And, you know, earthly fathers have limitations. There are things I don't know, things I can't pass along. There are areas of life my kids are smarter than I am in. But I can tell you this, no one is smarter than God. No one has a more vested interest in you than God. No one values your relation or their relationship with you more than the Heavenly Father does. And so as we pray for one another, I want you to pray that we will have healthy relationships with the Father that will manifest in healthy relationships within the body of Christ, which will result in reaching people who are estranged from the Father so they can be reconciled to the Father. Celebrate a healthy, holy relationship with your Heavenly Father. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.